Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, our guest is Jay Parker Adair, a coach who started a high school lacrosse program and has run programs for athletes from age 3 to high school. He's taken his sports lessons to the business world with a website called CoachAdair.com. Our topic, building success through goal setting and accountability.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Joining us is my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn. Hi, Parker, and hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi, Parker.
Thanks for having me.
Now, so you wrote me, action plus attitude equals success. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, the two basic principles, I think, to having success in anything are action and attitude, and I really think that you need to have both. Without the proper attitude towards something, your actions fall very short. We tend to walk through life just doing those simple tasks, the mundane tasks, and we don't have any passion with it. When you put a good positive attitude, which is one of the things that we really focus on, you put that good positive attitude in it, and then your actions are gauged toward that, and you find really good results with that. You're working for a purpose.
Now, when you say, let's see, now where does goal setting fit in?
Goal setting, without a goal, or we really refer to it a lot with dreams, without those goals or dreams, you don't have that purpose and you don't have a reason to do it. So if you don't have that reason, you don't have the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to set goals. We want, and I really encourage my athletes to set high goals. And actually, one of the things that I do with my athletes and my lacrosse team is hearing this for the first time, is this year they're going to be required to make up a list of 100 dreams or goals they have for their life before they can actually step on the field. So I want them to dream big. I've got one athlete who wants to be a doctor, and I think that's outstanding. Some kids, it's graduating high school. I think it's great, but I want them to set their goals high, and I'm going to help them attain those goals.
Now, but when you say goals, what do you mean?
Anything.
Life goals, sports goals?
I tell them to put them into different compartments. So some of them, it's I want to win a state championship. Some of it's I want to make the starting lineup. Some of it's I want to score a goal. And so some of those are sports goals. Some of them are life goals, like I want to be a doctor. I want to graduate high school. And some of them are even lifestyle goals. I want to have a nice house. Or I want to get married someday. That's more for my high school kids than for my five-year-olds. The five-year-old girls seem to be a little bit like that. They want to be a princess. But so we talk about goals on all sorts of levels. I really want them to see the big picture and what is available to them. And I tell them that there's no limit to it. I don't like to say the sky's the limit because it's been proven wrong many times. Neil Armstrong, you know.
I want Patrick to jump in here for a minute and talk about his view of goal setting in sports.
Well, Parker, I also think goals are important. I do believe there, in my work in area of sports psychology, I think they're often overrated, so to speak, because a lot of people think of sports psychology as visualization and goal setting, and I try to tell them that that's a very small part of kind of what it is that I do. But
agreed.
I guess a question that I would have for you that comes up for me is, does kids sometimes confuse goals with expectations? In other words, they feel like if they set this goal, they have to achieve the goal, or they're failing at some level. And do you talk to them about the difference of that goals are things that you strive for and you modify continuously, or do they set the goals as like an expectation, like others expect me to achieve this goal, and if I don't, I'm failing at some level?
That's a great question. One thing we really stress is that these goals are they're personal. Nobody else really needs to know about them. I don't even have to know all of them. I do encourage them to share a few of them so I can help them attain those. They also know a lot of those are more long-term, so it's something they have to work to. And so what we do when I sit down with them for an individual session to go over their goals is we talk. It's a step-by-step process. You may not be the starting quarterback overnight, but here are the actions that you can do to get there, and that's where that attitude and action comes through. And they find that just the whole process of doing that, and I really reinforce the process, and I use my own career, you know, as an example for that, that I was, when I was in high school, I was a kicker, but I was a backup kicker. I hadn't quite developed the technique and the strength, but then I went on to go play semi-professional, so I was a late bloomer. I use that with those kids, that it's not going to come right now, but what you're doing is you're making yourself better than you were yesterday by finding a new action that you can change about yourself. And those are things that spill out into life, that spill out into school, everything.
Now, can you give an example? Like, I think you said you need to set goals for being, I think you said, a football player or getting ahead in football or something like that. Can you give me an example of, like, step A, B, C, and D?
Yeah, it really depends on where the athlete starts. But, for instance, I had a quarterback who was a backup quarterback. I work a lot with a freshman B team, and a lot of my freshman B team quarterbacks went on to be varsity starters, which is pretty nice. But we'll take a little thing. Maybe it's changing your stance in your position. Okay, and now I've gone from a wide stance so I can't get out from under the center, and I've gone to a short one so I can get quicker away. Well, now I'm not getting tackled right away. It lets me play a little bit more. Once we fix that one thing, then we can go on to the next step. And, you know, we're saying, okay, let's keep our eyes up when we're going to pass. You don't need to look at the ground. Let's look to see where all the players are. Okay, once they get that down, then we can go, okay, now I want you to start looking at one player. If he is open, okay, then you pass it to him. If not, then you just turn and throw it to this other guy. And then from there, we read the whole defense. And so it really is a building block technique with that. We've done that with baseball, and I think that's a very important thing. A lot of kids are playing youth baseball, and I've started them out very young. And with even my three-year-olds, I start them very simple, and I get them. They don't even have their gloves. I tell parents not to bring their gloves to that first practice. And with my three-year-olds, I don't have them bring their glove at all because I really want to get them good technique, get your hand on the ground, and then I teach them the chomp technique. So it's just like an alligator, and he's going to chomp down on the ball. So he's got their hand on the ground, and they chomp down on it. Very simple, very good technique. And then we can build that from there, and that's something that comes, you know, maybe a year later, we're adding more things. But I wanted to build that very simple, basic technique. You learn that good technique early, and then you build on that.
Now, what about mental game goals? I guess this is a question for both of you.
Patrick, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go?
Sure. Well, from my discipline where I'm focusing mostly on the mental skills, it's important, I think, for kids also to have mental game goals. And Parker, I get really specific, like some of the goals that you were talking about with the kids and the drills. I'm all about, you certainly can set that long-term goal or that dream goal. I want to play college ball or something like that, or I want to be top 50 in the state. However, I think it's important to focus the kids on the immediate and the day-to-day, what we call, performance goals or process goals, immediate goals, things that kids can do on a daily basis. And included in that package, I talk about mental goals, like maybe helping kids to stay in the present, playing one down at a time, playing one shot at a time, playing one point at a time, and what goes into that, and setting some goals around, some simple goals around what they can do with their mental game, like let go of errors quickly and focus on the next play.
Now, Parker, is that anything that you deal with or focus on?
I completely agree with that. That's something that I definitely deal with, and actually I have on my website for subscribers to my website, I have a free checklist, what I call my attitude or action and attitude checklist, and I put a few items on there that every day athletes should be looking at when they're on game day, but even practices, and a few things on that are to be smiling. I really think that every athlete should be smiling, enjoying themselves. This is a fun thing to do, and that affects the attitude. Confidence. Confidence is one of those things that's very difficult. It's a big challenge for parents, coaches, and teachers to see in kids. I think it's a really big challenge for girls at many ages.
You think confidence is harder for girls?
I've seen that a lot, that having that girls do, especially as they get toward the early preteen and teenager levels, they have some confidence issues. And so I like to change that, you know, if possible, and help develop that. I know it's with a lot of the girls that it may not be just on the sports, but confidence in outside of sports, confidence in the social side of things. And I think that we can use sports to help make that a lot easier in life with that.
I want to back up. I don't think anybody has ever said to us that girls lack confidence before, that girls are more likely to lack confidence in sports. Patrick, is that anything that you've run into?
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.